Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. We were delighted to be joined by former Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who served in Congress from 1993 to 2023, representing the East Side of New York. Today, and in Congress, she is a top champion for the Equal Rights Amendment and is widely recognized for her leadership in women's rights, consumer protection, and government accountability. She is an Eleanor Roosevelt Distinguished Leader in Residence at the Roosevelt House Public Policy Institute at Hunter College. In 1993, in a leadership course at Hunter College, the class developed a national ERA petition, signforera.org, that now has over 160,000 signers. She then founded the nonprofit eranow.org that is working to increase the petition to 1 million by the end of 2026. The mission of ERA Now is to pass an ERA joint resolution in Congress that will recognize the ERA as ratified and eliminate any arbitrary time limit. We spoke with the Honorable Carolyn Maloney via Zoom on May 6, 2026, to tell us about the Driving the Vote for Equality tour, in which she and others on her team are retracing the 1916 Driving the Vote for Women, in which Alice Burke and Nell Richardson embarked on a daring and unprecedented cross-country journey advocating for women's suffrage. Before the 19th Amendment enshrined American women's right to vote in 1920, it was legal in only a few states. Montana legislated votes for women in 1914, and then elected Jeanette Rankin as the first woman to serve in Congress in 1916. Meanwhile, trailblazing suffragists Alice and Nell loaded up a yellow Saxon automobile and embarked on a state-by-state campaign for women's voting rights. Long before the modern highway system streamlined car travel, they drove a grueling 10,700 miles over half a year, traversing some of the roughest roads in America. Backed by the Saxon Motor Car Company and fueled by their own indomitable spirits, they advocated for women's suffrage in every town along the way, including Bozeman. In 1920, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, which stated, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." Then, in 1923, the first version of the Equal Rights Amendment was proposed by suffragist leader Alice Paul. It stated, "Men and women shall have equal rights throughout the United States and every place subject to its jurisdiction." But it wasn't until 1972 that an Equal Rights Amendment passed overwhelmingly in the Congress and was sent to the states for ratification. It stated simply, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." In the first year, 22 states ratified it, but then progress slowed as opposition to it was organized. When the extended deadline for ratification arrived on June 30, 1982, the Equal Rights Amendment was three states shy of the necessary 38 states for full ratification. It wasn't until January 2020 that the state of Virginia made history by becoming the 38th state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. With this monumental achievement, the attention is now directed to the fight for Congress to remove the deadline. Sister bills are active in both the Senate and House of Representatives. Towards this end, the Driving the Vote for Equality tour will be in Bozeman at the Extreme History Project on Wednesday morning, May 13th, with various events to begin at 8 a.m. Welcome to Echotones, former Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Joy LaClaire, for having me and for welcoming so beautifully the ERA tour across the country that I'm part of, that I founded a new not-for-profit after I left Congress called ERA Now, dedicated totally to recognizing the Equal Rights Amendment as part of the Constitution so that they can't roll back our rights, which they seem to be doing every day.
You are part of a very exciting and interesting tour. It replays a tour that happened across the nation for the women's rights to vote in 1916 when two women drove across the United States in what is now a vintage car. And you are also doing that. Would you give us more details, please?
Well, we are building on and reliving the experience of two brave women, Alice Burke and Nell Richardson, who drove over 10,500 miles for a woman's right to vote. 110 years ago, they started out from New York, from my district, and drove across America and came back, meeting people, building momentum, building advocates, raising the awareness of the need for women to have the right to vote. And we are doing the same thing. We have a vintage car, a 1916 Saxon. They went to the automobile company. It no longer exists. And they gave them the car to drive across America on very bad roads, proving that women could drive and proving how important the Equal Rights Amendment. And they drove for the vote, and we're driving for equality. Back in 1916, the right to vote was stalled. And today, the right for the Equal Rights Amendment to be recognized as the 28th Amendment is stalled. So we are hoping that we will gain from their experience. We are driving the same route. They went to Montana, home of Jeanette Rankin, the first woman elected to Congress, a great peace leader. They're going to the Peace Institute. And we have started something called Mayors for the ERA. They are meeting with the mayor. He is signing our petition. We've started a petition called Sign, S-I-G-N, the number 4ERA.org. We have over 200,000 signatures, and we're begging everyone to go on the internet to sign 4ERA.org and help us reach 1 million signatures by the time that we vote in the midterm elections. So we are trying to raise awareness. We're trying to build support. And we're trying to get elected people who support the Equal Rights Amendment. Our organization is nonpartisan. We support anyone who supports the Equal Rights Amendment. So we are driving for the vote. That's what we're doing.
Do I understand correctly that you are joined by Gerald Shriver?
She has a number of antique cars, she and her husband. And we have one of them that is going across the country with us. And we are going to park it in front of the Peace Institute. We're going to park it in front of City Hall. We are partnering with women's organizations in Montana. We're going to be meeting with the League of Women Voters, the City for CEDAW, the Montana State University Women's Organizations, ZONTA, AAUW, which is the retirees from academic women, and just all kinds of women's organizations and like-minded men. And like-minded men who are supporting putting into the Constitution that women are equal. It was introduced in 1923 by Alice Paul, who was a relative of my late husband, Clifton Maloney. His grandmother was her cousin, and they were very different. They were both Quaker, but Alice Paul was being force-fed, arrested, and leading an organization of militant women who were demanding the right to vote. But we're not finished. We gained the right to vote, but we need to be guaranteed our rights. Otherwise, we cannot enforce equal pay for equal work. We cannot really defend women from sexual attacks without it being in the Constitution and the authority of the government to write laws to protect women and to enforce those laws. And I must tell you, Joy LeClaire, it was very distressing to me. I have two daughters. One is on the City Council of New York right now. But I have two daughters, and I never in my wildest dreams thought that we would have less rights. They would have less rights than I had at their age. Yet when they rolled back a woman's right to choose under Roe v. Wade, I was stunned. And you saw the decision on Mifepristone trying to roll that back. They've reversed that, but voting rights, all kinds of laws they're rolling back. If we were in the Constitution, they could not roll those laws back. But you're not protected unless you're in the Constitution. And that's what I'm working on full time. And my motto is, it is impossible until it is done. And we are going to get it done for the women of America. And I truly believe that when women succeed, America succeeds. And we can't compete and win in a world economy if we're not developing the talents of all of our citizens to the most that they can be with education, with opportunities. We need their help. And we've seen that those societies that empower women empower their areas, they empower their countries, they empower the world. So I feel it's very, very important, and that's what I've been working on. I was in Congress for 30 years and carried the Equal Rights Amendment. I passed a lot of bills, but I did not get this one over the finish line, and that's what we're trying to do.
Listeners should know that you and your team will be in Bozeman on May 13th, and the Golden Flyer, as we're calling the 1916 replica. Well, it's not a replica.
It is.
Well, it's made from the same materials as those cars were.
Actually, it is a 1916 Saxon car. It's an original car. It's totally, totally original. It's not a replica. It's original. And when they went across the country, they went over 10,500 miles, but they gave it back to the company. So it could be the original car. But in any event, it was one of, they made many cars, so it could have been another one. But it is exactly like the car that they drove across America in. I think we will be successful because the obstacles that we face are far less than what they faced. We just have to get a vote in Congress and in the Senate on the legislation that already passed in 1972. It's been ratified by 38 states, which were required by the Constitution, so we could recognize it and remove the arbitrary time limit they added. They even discriminated against us with the time limit. They had never had it with a constitutional amendment until the women's movement came up with their time limit legislation. So that's what we're trying to do with the help of the women in Montana. We hope we'll be successful.
On May 13th, the Golden Flyer will be at the Extreme History Project in Bozeman. And that is going to be starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Coffee, tea, and muffins will be there. At 8:30, Montana Now will be introducing Mayor Joey Morrison, who will be presenting a proclamation supporting the local and national ERA, and a reminder, that's Equal Rights Amendment, and in support of the Equal Rights Amendment, there'll be local advocates and locally elected representatives, and the community is invited. And then at 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, Montana Now is introducing a program that's going to include Montana University history professor and community activist Cheryl Hendry, and of course, Crystal Alegria, our beloved executive director of the Extreme History Project, who has done so many amazing programs on the Montana suffrage movement. So it's going to be a very exciting program on May 13th, beginning at 8 a.m. And Carolyn, you will be there, and Gerald will be there also, yes?
I'll be there by Zoom. I'm still with my students in New York that started this project. We started the petition. We started the mayors for the Equal Rights Amendment. We now are looking to city councils to pass proclamations to recognize it. But what we have to remember is that Montana is very, very important. It is the home of Jeanette Rankin, the very first woman who was elected to Congress. And her portrait hangs in United States Congress. It's a beautiful portrait by Sharon Sprung. It really is an inspiration to think of her, to see her, and to really say thank you to her and build on her hard work in the women of Montana that and like-minded men that elected her to elect more men and women that support the Equal Rights Amendment and will finally vote for the resolution recognizing it as ratified. So I'm excited about what's going to happen in Montana on the 12th and the 13th. There are going to be 2 days in Montana meeting with people and organizing and working for equality. You're not equal unless you are in the Constitution, and that's what we're trying to do.
Carolyn, it's very confusing for many of us because it would seem that all the requirements have been met for the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, to be in the Constitution. It was passed overwhelmingly in Congress in 1972. It went to the states. 38 states ratified it. But there was this, as you mentioned, not part of the amendment, but part of what Congress, part of the bill sending it to the states, introduced this deadline by which the 38 states had to ratify it. That wasn't met. Congress then extended the deadline. What the heck is going on?
Well, a number of people do not recognize it as ratified because of the deadline. So when I left Congress, I initiated a petition to Leader Schumer, who was the leader of the Senate, to have the first hearing in 40 years on the ERA and to give us a vote, which he did. When we had the hearing, and I passed a lot of legislation, I listened very clearly to what the opposition is saying. What their only complaint was the deadline, and also that it had been 40 years. And how do we know that that's how the Congress feels now? When I left, I introduced legislation, and we had the vote, and it passed by majority. It passed with 52 votes, but they invoked the terrible cloture, the filibuster that requires 60 votes, which I think is very unfair. So we introduced a new bill that recognizes it as ratified, as having met all the requirements, as you noted, of Article 5 of the Constitution, that it have a two-thirds vote in the House and the Senate and be ratified by 38 states, which happened in 2020 in Virginia. And we got over 100 constitutional scholars to come out and say, led by Larry Tribe from Harvard, and Erwin Chemerinsky from California, Stanford, and other universities. And they pointed out in their writings that you can require a time limit. Congress can require it, but Congress can remove it. So that's what our legislation does. It removes those two hurdles, which was the only complaint that they had. All of the things that they used to say, that it's going to be terrible because women will be in the military. Guess what? They're in the military. That there'll be co-ed bathrooms. Well, have you been in a home recently or on an airplane? There are co-ed bathrooms. All of these sort of complaints, they've all fallen by the wayside. So that's why we want to build this momentum and force a vote that will prove it. Right before President Biden left office, he came out and he said, you've met all the requirements. It should be in the Constitution. But in our government, everything is decided by votes. And the majority now in the House and the Senate does not recognize it as ratified for the two reasons that I gave you. The fact that it's been 40 years, I think there's more people for equality now. Another important point is that the polling shows massive support from the American people. When have you seen anything that 88% of the Democrats support and that 66% of the Republicans support? The majorities of both parties by significant numbers support the Equal Rights Amendment. So it's extremely popular. So we want to get it to a vote and see who supports equality and who doesn't. It merely says that women shall not be discriminated against because of their sex. But now if laws go to the Supreme Court, their interpretation by the majority is that women can be discriminated against, and that is wrong. That is unfair. The easiest way to look at it, as in pay, and the annual reports on pay, is that women are still 80 cents to the dollar, which is unfair, but which is really unfair. I did a series of studies on it when I was in Congress. What is really is unfair that it compounds over a lifetime, so that because you're not working, you don't have Social Security women. Because they are often working very hard in the home as mothers, as homemakers, as wives, and often are caretakers for the elderly and for the young. So they don't have Social Security. that compounds. They don't have the 401k accounts that compounds. They don't have the bonus. They don't have the economic incentives that are given in the workplace. And it compounds over a lifetime that the largest segment of poverty in America is older women. And for women of color, for African American women, for Hispanic women, the pay gap is wider and more harmful. So it's very important, I think, for our country to recognize women as equal. I will say that I'd rather live in our country than any other country. I think we treat our people better than any other country. But we remain the only Western democracy that does not have women in our Constitution. And I think that our rights should not be dependent on who is president or who is head of the Senate or the House or the majority in the House or who is the mayor. It should be guaranteed in our Constitution as a constitutional right.
When I mentioned the tour, the response has been a variation of, I can't believe we still need to do this. However, there has been a renewal and strengthening of efforts to erase the history of women's struggles, accomplishments, and important contributions to our nation and the world. There is serious backsliding in demoting or eliminating women in the military, for example, under the guise of DEI backlash. And I can't help wondering, at this particular time in history, if the deck is seriously stacked against this effort.
Usually in Congress, they talk about precedent. You have to uphold precedent. So I never thought that they would roll back a woman's right to choose, but they did. And they came out with another determination from number 5 Circuit Court in Texas that really limited access to mifepristone, which is for miscarriages, for other health issues with women, that you could only get it face to face with a doctor, which is ridiculous. They rolled that back. There was such an outrage in the country. But our rights are not guaranteed unless we are in the Constitution. You can pass a law and roll it back. And when they determined the Roe v. Wade decision, rolling it back, overturning it, they looked at Article 14 of the Constitution, which granted citizenship and the right to vote to African Americans. But a lot of our laws that were interpreted by courts were based on the 14th Amendment. But if they can erase the privacy provision on which they based for women to have the right to control their own bodies and to make health decisions and reproductive rights decisions over their own body, then they can roll back Title VII, equality of treatment in employment, or Title IX. I'm a former teacher, so I love Title IX. That guaranteed women equality of treatment in education so that women are treated equally in being allowed to go to all the science courses and sports, which is so important to building not only a healthy body, but a lot of ways to interact with people, to compete, to win, confidence building. I have 2 daughters. They were great athletes. And my husband said one day, how did they become great athletes? I wasn't a great athlete and you weren't. I said, excuse me, how do you know I wasn't a great athlete? I never had a chance. When I went to public school, there was absolutely no sports, zero for women. And that has opened up so many fields of competition. Billie Jean King was a star in having women treated more equally in tennis. But in all of the areas, women have been given opportunities to strengthen themselves, to compete, build their confidence level, and have really important jobs in education. So there's so many areas that this touches that is so important. And as I said, one thing I want to do before I really retire is I want to raise money and have a big sign in the international airport in New York that says, welcome to the only Western democracy that doesn't have women in the Constitution. I'd like to do that in every international airport in America to make people aware. Most people, like you said, they're not aware. They're not aware. But studies show that in pay differential, women have made great strides because of the women's movement, because of the labor movement, in entering jobs at the same level as men. But my study showed that after 5 years, when you're getting promoted, the discrimination shows that it's harder for women to become partners in law firms or to become CEOs. A very interesting other statistic is that the number of small businesses in America, which is described as the backbone of our economy in every town and village and state, is women. And I would say that a lot of times it's because they hit that glass ceiling in the private sector and they say, I'm just not going to stay here and not be promoted and go out and just start their own company. So women are the heads of many, many small businesses because that is an avenue where they can start their own work and be rewarded for their own work. And I feel that we are the greatest country on earth and we are the best to our people. But let's take that step and recognize the Equal Rights Amendment as part of the Constitution as the 28th Amendment. And that's what we're trying to do with this cross-country tour to all of the important states that the women went to before. We're going back. The day before yesterday, I was traveling yesterday. We were in LA. And we went to the park that they went to, the exact same park. And we had Mayor Bass come out and sign the petition. And we're going to be doing that with the mayors in Montana that have come out and said they want to sign the petition. And lots of times we're taking the car right to the exact spot where they stood. We have Mrs. Shriver's book, Geralyn's book, Driving the Vote. And she talks about the whole trip and she researched it. So she knows where the car went. And we have the whole thing. We're going back to those exact same places and reliving what they did before and getting a renewed commitment. The mayors of our country, they have a conference of mayors, and the conference of mayors came out strongly with one of the strongest statements that I've seen for the Equal Rights Amendment. So we appreciate that.
Yes, for the reasons you mentioned, particularly about women in business, that's the backbone of cities, city governments, tax rolls, all that stuff. In researching for this interview, I was curious to try to find out what the arguments against the Equal Rights Amendment are. And it seems they basically come down to religious hierarchies. For example, the Catholic archbishops' organizations and corporate organizations. You were mentioning the pay differential between men and women, which, goodness gracious, we've been working on that for decades, and it's still shockingly high, the difference for equal work being paid less for women. And so, what that brings to mind is the recent, relatively recent rise of overt gender discrimination among religious leaders. I'm thinking Christian nationalists, for example, some of whom are openly advocating to take away votes for women. For example, talk about backsliding. And since the Supreme Court decisions equating corporate money with free speech and the apparent self-interest of corporations to pay women less, it seems to me that both those tendencies are coming together to make it difficult and possibly outright prevent our realizing our dream of having equal rights for everyone clearly stated in the Constitution, and that that will not be abrogated on the basis of sex. Your comments on that, former Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney.
I think that you did a lot of good research, and you're right. It's very frightening. I don't know how to judge what someone's going to do except by what they say. And you have important leaders in this country, heads of congregations and other organizations, coming out and saying that women shouldn't have the right to vote. I mean, that's outrageous. They have come out and said they need to roll back the access to contraceptives. You saw the action of rolling back that took place in the Circuit Fifth Court, reversed temporarily now, of saying that women couldn't have access to mifepristone through the mail or through any other way. You couldn't even, you had to go and personally see the doctor and talk to them. And it's crazy. I don't know of any medicine that a man has to go and personally meet with. And it's just discrimination against women. I don't know how else. And when you hear it, it sounds ridiculous. Of course, women have the right to vote. You shouldn't take it away. Well, of course, women should have the right to choose and you shouldn't take it away. And they did for 30% of the women in America that did not have states that allowed freedom of choice. So they did take that away. And I will say that if they can take away a woman's right to choose, they can take away any other right from Title VII, Title IX, equality of treatment in sports. They can take away any other right. And the only way to truly protect women is to place them in the Constitution where they so rightfully belong. We are half the population. We are coming up to the 250th anniversary of our great country, and women have been there from the Revolutionary War to every war, every crisis, every illness, working alongside the men of America, and they should be protected. And the only way you will ever enforce the Equal Pay for Equal Rights Amendment is with an equality amendment in the Constitution for women, because the courts have said that it does not guarantee equality for women. They have said that they can lawfully discriminate against women, and they do. I'll tell you another area where I think it would have a tremendous impact is sexual violence. And now, when you go to the court over sexual violence, they throw it out. They say it's not covered. Women aren't in the Constitution. Where's the Commerce Clause? Where's the financial hurt? Well, I can't think of any more painful something than hurting someone physically. And the FBI has called rape the second worst crime, preceded only by murder, in terms of the effect and harm that it does to a person psychologically and in all other respects, too. So we have a fight ahead of us, and people are coming out and saying things, and people say, oh, that'll never happen. When I heard, I think I've heard two major national leaders say women shouldn't have the right to vote. And I thought that's crazy. But that's what I said when they said women should not be able to determine their own health care, their own reproductive health care. So I think it's a serious challenge to us, and we have to put women in the Constitution where they rightfully belong.
Carolyn Maloney, this is a very exciting and fun way to bring the message across the country and particularly to our lovely city of Bozeman, Montana, on May 13th at 8 o'clock in front of the Extreme History Project. Are there any final words that you would like to leave with our listeners before we say goodbye?
I would just say that when I first announced we were going to do all of this, everybody says, it's impossible. It's impossible. You'll never get it done. Well, why? We have determined women, just like Jeanette Rankin was determined, just as like Alice Paul was determined. We have the same fight here. And I say that it's impossible until it's done, but it depends on people to get it done. And everyone can sign the petition. Everyone can get their friends to sign the petition. And I hope that in your speeches and your radio shows, you get a logo that says sign for the ERA.org and urge people, do your part to get those signatures. We have 500 signatures in Montana right now. We usually have thousands in states. And what we do is we communicate and ask them to reach out to their senators and congresspeople and ask them to support the legislation. So it's a tool to get it passed, to get it through the Congress and into the lives of people. So I would say it's impossible until it's done. And if you can do one thing, is go on the internet to sign, SIGN, the number 4, ERA.org, and be part of the national petition drive, be part of reaching out to your mayors and asking them to sign, to their city councils to pass the resolution we have for it, and to just be part of bringing it into the reality of a constitutional amendment.
I will repeat all that information. But before I say goodbye to you, Carolyn Maloney, another fun fact I uncovered in researching: the very first person to make a cross-country automobile journey was Bertha Benz in 1888. Without her husband's knowledge, she and her two teenage boys drove 65 miles one way and then presumably back under conditions that I won't go into. They had to keep putting the volatile fuel every 10 miles or something like that. So anyway, 65 miles she did in 1888, the first internal combustion engine automobile over any distance of significance. A woman, Bertha Benz.
That's terrific and a great researcher. It's been an honor to be on your program. Thank you for having me. And thank you for being part of the effort to place women into the Constitution where they rightfully belong.
The honor is mine, I assure you. Former Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, thank you so much for joining us today and for your decades of work. We so appreciate it. You have just heard a conversation with former Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, sharing with us about her work towards getting the Equal Rights Amendment into the U.S. Constitution. You can find out more at her nonprofit, eranow.org, or find the petition at sign4era.org. That's sign4era.org. We spoke with Carolyn Maloney on May 6, 2026 via Zoom. The Driving the Vote for Equality tour will be in Bozeman at the Extreme History Project at 234 East Mendenhall on Wednesday morning, May 13th, with various events to begin at 8 a.m. And speaking of the Extreme History Project, you can hear the wonderful talk they sponsored at the Museum of the Rockies way back in 2018 by Western Heritage Center Director Kevin Koistra, titled Hazel Hunkins of Billings, Protesting at the White House, 1917-19, on kgvm.org. Just search at the bottom of the website for Hazel Hunkins. She deserves to be remembered. Echotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, hosted and produced by Joy LaClaire, for broadcast and archiving on kgvm.org, listener-sponsored community radio for Gallatin Valley and beyond. You can do your part to financially support KGVM by going to kgvm.org and clicking on the Support KGVM button at the top of the page. It will allow us to continue bringing you quality programs of, by, and for our community. We thank you for listening and for your support.